Yeah. Father, we just thank you for this day. And I just want to pray that there is that sense that the same power at work in Jesus to raise him from the dead is now at work in us. And I want to pray that for Andy, Lord, that there'd be a sense of the power of the Holy Spirit just speaking out the truth and the reality of what we now know about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, guys. Nice to see you. I just want 15 minutes of your time, I promise. Well, near as. Okay, yeah, here we go. Clock starts ticking. I'm just going to read a short bit of from the Bible that happened straight after the Lego movie finished, all right? Lots of rude comments already about go and watch the Lego movie again rather than listen to me. But we read this in the last chapter of what's called the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament. That same day that we saw on the Lego movie, two of the disciples were walking to the village Emmaus, which was about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What is this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they'd lost their best friend. Then one of them, called Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during these last few days?" He said, "What's happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it's now the third day since all of that happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us." Any ever said that before? Okay. "Some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, 'So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?' Then he started at the beginning of the Bible and went through the book of Moses and all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him, saying, 'Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done.' So he went in with them, and here's what happened. He sat down, he blessed and broke the bread and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared." How frustrating is that? Right, that's high up on my list of questions when I get to heaven that I'm going to ask Jesus. Why did you do that? He disappeared. Back and forth, the two disciples talked. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the Bible for us? They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away, saying, "It's really happened. The Master has been raised up." Hallelujah. So five things very, very quickly, I do promise, all right? The first thing, these two disciples were followers of Jesus, right? They listened to him. They'd seen his ministry for 2 or 3 years. They'd seen the miracles that he'd performed. They'd heard the words that he'd spoken. They got that he was a man of integrity, a man of honesty. They saw how his words affected people's lives. They saw that he was a man who meant what he said and stood behind it. And they had chosen to follow him. They'd made a decision to follow Jesus. They had invested in him. You know, maybe they'd even left friends or their family or their job in order to follow him, because we read that other of his followers did exactly that. They had invested in following Jesus. They were captivated by what he said and by his honesty and his integrity. Maybe perhaps they'd even gone along a little bit with the crowds that had followed Jesus, because we read about in numerous occasions how large crowds gathered to hear what Jesus said. Maybe they'd be caught up a bit in that. But either way, they had responded to what Jesus had said, and it had changed their lives. Do you know anyone who's promised you stuff? Who's promised you that this would do happen? That they would do this for you? That they would give you this? And you've believed them and you've trusted them, and then it hasn't happened. And how did that leave you feeling? That's where these guys were. They'd invested 2 to 3 years in following this Jesus, and now he was dead. And they're thinking, what's going on? It's not gone as they expected. It's like, you know, when if you follow a sports team or a football team, you know, many of us followed England in the Euros last year, if you remember that far back, right? And they win a few games, and you start to get a bit excited, and more people get a bit excited, and they think, oh, this is going to happen. And even people who don't like football get excited because England are winning games, and then they get to the final, and they think, oh, they're going to win it. And there's that sense of expectation. It's going to happen. They're going to do it because it is in England. And then they score the first goal in the final. And if yes, they're on the way. And they're lost. You know, and there's that sense of deflation. Actually, we're a lot of, for those of us that are English, there's a sense of cynicism. I knew it was going to be like that anyway. But there's that deflation. There's a build-up and a build-up of an expectation that's going to happen. And then suddenly, oof. It's gone. That's where these two guys were at. Not only had it not gone as they expected, second thing is they were confused. Right? They were confused about Jesus. They'd heard him, they'd seen him, they'd followed him, and now he was dead. Now he was gone. Not only that we read, but in the version I read, you know, some of the women came and confused us because they'd been to his tomb that very morning and his body isn't there, and they say they've seen a vision of angels who told them that Jesus was alive. And they're thinking, what is going on? People, when you die, that's it, right? That's the end. You die, you go to a funeral, you bury somebody in the ground, end of story, finish, that's it. And everything that person had done in their life and said in their life has come to an end, and that's a closure, right? And now these women are saying that his tomb's empty, and what's going on? They were confused, wondering what's going on. All this talk and belief and great expectation while Jesus was with them, and then to see him crucified on that cross, to see him die and put in a tomb, I think, that's the end of it. Sometimes we all get confused by Jesus. It's okay to admit that. All right, we all get confused. Every single one of us in this room has probably got some level of confusion about Jesus. The pastor has lots. But you know, we all do, right? But it's okay, all right, to have that confusion about Jesus. You know, all of us at times, and maybe some of you in the room are saying this morning, well, if Jesus is alive, where is he? You know, why does he allow so much suffering in this world? Why can't he fix everything? Or maybe you even know people who follow Jesus and you think, yeah, it's okay for them, but I just don't get it. And there's that confusion around, well, who is Jesus? What is he? I don't understand. And the third thing we see in our little story is they don't recognize Jesus when he comes up and walks alongside them. You know, and it's interesting. Sometimes we would not recognize Jesus if he walked right up to us, grabbed us by the hand and shook our hand. We would totally miss it. These two guys were busy thinking about everything that had happened. They were busy thinking about what they had experienced. They were busy thinking about the fact Jesus is dead. That is the end of the story. So what now about everything that he said? And they're thinking of that disappointment, of that loss, and of that not knowing where to turn. And in their understanding and an experience, Jesus was dead. And we can think at times, where is Jesus? Where is he in this life? He seems very limited. Why isn't this happening? And that leads us to not recognizing him when he comes and walks alongside us. Because we're missing what Jesus is doing because we're limited by our past experience. These guys had to get past a big hurdle. And that big hurdle was that death isn't the end. And we'll come on to that in a minute, right? But they're fixated by that. And so they miss what Jesus is doing. And then for you and me in our own lives today, we can be exactly the same. Miss what Jesus is doing and saying to us because we are fixated about what's going on in our lives and what has happened in the past and all the questions that we've got. So how does Jesus address this? You think, right? Jesus, risen from the dead, this day, walks alongside them. He could just, you know, touch their eyes. Ba-dumph, and they'd get it. You'd think he could just do some sort of Vulcan mind meld, you know, on them. I'm of that age, sorry. And they would get it. Or you think, you know, he's just going to snap his fingers. You know, he's risen from the dead. He's changed the whole parameters in which we live life. And he rocks up to these two guys. He could just go, vumph, and they get it. Oh, you are Jesus. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. What he does is he explains to them from the Bible everything about himself. He explains to them from this book who Jesus is, what he had to suffer, and how the detail of all that has happened in the preceding weeks was written down hundreds of years earlier and was bound to happen in order for Jesus, first of all, to suffer and then to enter his glory, to then be raised from the dead, to then lead his people into freedom and bring that rescue that we saw about on the Lego movie. He took them from an understanding of Jesus based on their experience, based on their culture, based on the laws of life and death, the physics of life and death. And he took them instead to an understanding of Jesus based on the Word of God, which from time to time cuts across those things. Yes. And he rewired them, if you like, yes, to suddenly realize that Jesus has conquered death. All those things where we say, this can't happen because, yeah, dot, 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 you fill in the blanks. Jesus is able, yeah, to cut across that. We need to come back to the Jesus of the Bible. People will say all kinds of stuff, including he's dead, including he's not real. But in the Bible, just as these two guys in our story did, we encountered the one true Jesus who not only died on the cross for the sins of the world, but died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And who God raised to life through his power and is at work today in the lives of his people, including his people gathered here in this building and in every church gathered today around the world. And so we come back to the solid, unshifting fact that Jesus is alive today, based not on blind faith, based not on wishful thinking, based not on, you know, a longing, I hope it's true, but based on reliable historical evidence. Did Jesus recover in the tomb? No, of course not. Look at what happens when you crucify someone. The Romans were experts at crucifying people and know how to kill them. Look at the Roman centurion who had to guarantee the body was dead when he took it down off the cross. Look at the guards stood in front of the tomb to protect it and to make sure nothing was stolen. Did the disciples steal the body from the tomb and start a rumor? No, because of that. No, because they became men and women who were prepared to be martyred for what they now went on to preach, that Jesus was alive. They would not have done that if this was based on what they knew to be a lie. Look at how Jesus appeared to many different groups of people on many different occasions after this day. None of them, all of them independent, and on several occasions to lots of people at one go. Look at the disciples themselves, fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary men and women who would call a spade, and the transformation in their lives to become people who were no longer afraid to stand up in front of thousands and say, Jesus is alive today, and he died for you that you could know his life and be rescued from the effects and the impacts of sin in your life and in my life. They became men and women who were prepared to stand in front of kings and rulers in the countries around the known world at that point of time. Such transformation. Yes, thank you. So how do we respond? And with this I do finish. How do we respond? You see, in the story, the disciples, they invited Jesus into their house. And they have this simple meal. We read that they break bread and then their eyes are open. They realize it's Jesus and then he disappears, right? But this simple meal, as we know elsewhere from the Bible, it's really an act of worship. It's really an act of recognizing Jesus for who he is. It's an acknowledgement of Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and what he will do. It's an acknowledgement that the one who loves us, who gave his life for us, who suffered and died for you and for I, is alive from the dead and is Lord. It's a surrender to that struggle that you and I often have about, well, is Jesus true? Is it not true? Is what the church says right? Is what I read in the Bible right? And that struggle and that tension, it's saying, okay, I've got loads of questions still, but Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I put my hope in you. Jesus, I change the way I think and choose to live my life, and I choose to follow you. It's about saying, I've lived my way that hasn't really worked out, and now I choose to live your way. And I close with this, and then I'm going to pray before the kids beat me to it, right? Jesus says elsewhere in the Bible, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? And he's knocking. And what he means is he's knocking on the door of your life and my life. And I reckon every day, actually, he's doing that. And there are some of us here this morning who need to respond to the knocking of Jesus this morning, because he is alive. Right, and if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never surrendered, if you've never said, actually, Jesus, yes, I have lived my life my way, it hasn't worked out, I need you. Today is the day to open the door and let him in and pray a prayer. Or maybe for you, you've done that in the past, but you know there's some knocking going on. You know that he's working in your life. Maybe for you, you've got confusion like these disciples. Maybe for you, things haven't worked out the way you had expected like these disciples. And Jesus is knocking, saying, hey, come on, open up. I will help you through this. We'll work through this together, because I've got some ideas that might just change the way you view life. Like I'm alive, right? And so for you today, maybe you need to open the door and let Jesus in to do that. I'm just going to pray a prayer, then hand back to Roland. I invite you, if you're in one of those positions, then just pray the prayer with me. If we can just bow our heads, please, that'd be great. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, you are alive today. We thank you we don't sit or stand here, Lord, based on empty ideas or philosophies, but on the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. And Lord, as I sit here today, I want to pray, I want to open the door to you into my life. And Lord Jesus, I invite you in. I've got lots of questions, I don't understand everything, but that's okay. But I trust you. And I invite you in, Lord, to this day. Please come in. Amen. 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 Right.